What a difference a week makes. Or if you've lived any time in South Carolina, how much a couple of hours can make. So welcome and a good overcast and cool sunny afternoon to you. I think last week this time it was like 96 degrees instead of 76. You're listening to Woods and Water, South Carolina on 94.5 WGTK. My name is Roger Metz, and for the next hour I'll be your host, and I appreciate you tuning in. You can listen to this show on your FM dial, get the free Conservative Talk 94.5 app, or listen to the live streaming feed at www.conservativetalk945.com. Just look on the right side of the webpage and click the Listen Live link. Well, I don't know about you, but I liked the cooler weather last week, but man, that rain sure washed away any plans I had to get outside. You know, bush hogging a sopping wet field, getting soaked by, Dave's in there, he's saying, yeah, he knows. Getting soaked by, waterlogged sweet gum limbs, clearing shooting lanes, plowing muddy food plots, running chainsaw, you know, all that stuff in the rain just isn't fun anymore. What I really wanted to do was go float the Broad River and catch some smallmouths. And the key word there is float, not go whitewater rafting. Because I don't know, we got, 4 or 5 inches of rain last week. This week looks pretty good as far as temps go. I'm looking here at the forecast. I'm ever hopeful one of these days it'll turn out like it says. You know, mid to upper 80s, 30, 40% chance of rain. So maybe, you know, this week, maybe some of the water will go down rather fast, and maybe by the end of the week some of us can get outside and have some fun. What's on the schedule today? Archery. My daughter Taylor took part in the summer archery program put on by Patrick and Colleen Pusateri in the Hurricanes Archery Program. I think she had a good time, at least based on the smile on her face right now. She's in the studio with me to share with you what it's like to be a first-time archery student. Thank you for coming on the show.
You're welcome.
I think she had a really good time. I believe we will have Ryan Bass from South Carolina DNR. I couldn't get a confirmation from him today. But he should be calling in to give us an overview of the state NAS program. He's the current guy in charge. We will also talk a little bit about the upcoming FLW Cup on Lake Murray. Over the last few weeks, we've been giving you every week a new thing to look forward to that's going to be happening down there. So this will be our last installment of that because next week's going to be a full show. More on that later. The first newsletter from the new National Deer Alliance, along with a few other items as time allows. That's what I have on the books for today. But if you have something else you want to ask a question or comment on today's show, maybe you have been a NAS program participant in the past and want to tell us about your experience, love to hear from you. The numbers to call in are 235-9405 in the upstate, 877-235-9405 anywhere else. Before we get to the calendar events, we have to give some congratulations to a couple of guys out there. And those are the anglers on the University of South Carolina bass fishing team. And this is a story from the Lake Murray News Online, and it's written pretty good, so I'll just read you part of it. Geddes Brannon and Patrick Walters have scored a couple of significant firsts for anglers at USC, the University of South Carolina's competitive bass fishing club, not the least of which is earning a slot in the Carhartt Bassmaster College Championship, which happened Thursday, Friday, is when all the teams fished, and then today for the championship. Now, Geddes is a junior advertising marketing major from Gaffney, South Carolina. You've heard him here on the show before. And Patrick is a from Somerville, South Carolina, majoring in business management. They both qualified for the college championship with an 18th place finish in the Bassmaster College Series wildcard tournament on Pickwick. That was back in early July, and we talked to Geddes about that tournament. And the landmark as far as USC is concerned is because this is the first time that club has ever qualified for the championships. Now, to every good news, there's a little bit of bad news. And although they caught some good fish, they didn't make it. They placed eighth. I think there were 84 teams that fished this tournament over on Lake Chattoog in Georgia. Geddes and Patrick weighed in 5 fish at 8-7 on Thursday. 5 fish weighed 10-12 on Friday, and they placed eighth. So they missed fifth place. Fifth place was 21-3. They missed qualifying by 2 pounds. And I was texting Geddes. I watched the weigh-in yesterday live. I caught the weigh-in on Thursday on podcast. But I was texting them out how close they were to fishing and making the championship. And on the stage at about the same time I was texting him, he said, you know, fishing tournaments are really a humbling sport. He said, because we had a couple of nice fish that just got off right at the boat. And he said, you think you're doing well? And then boom, it just comes unraveled on you. But he also said he was going back to Carolina to meet his girlfriend who has been home in Texas all summer. I had talked to him a little bit about that earlier. I told him, I said, well, at least there's a silver lining to not making the cut and getting the head home. He agreed. He said, yeah. He said, there's always something positive to look forward to. So he's got a couple more years on the Anglers USC fishing team, and I'm looking forward to what's coming down the road with those guys. Let's go to the calendar events and see what's out there for you to do this week. Right here at Parrish Mountain State Park, this is a duel. This is on August the 8th and August the 15th from 10 to 12. You have the opportunity to Creek Ranger hike for families. Friday mornings at 10 o'clock, families will be led on a nature hike looking for animals and their habitats in or near water. I love this part of it. It says you need to bring water shoes because part of the program is spent in the creek using nets. Bring some of those things you might find to be brought back to the lab for close-up look in the park microscope. So again, August 8th and the 15th, right here at Parrish Mountain State Park. It's a family lake walk right down the street. And, you know, school's starting back up. You don't have much time to do this stuff on the weekdays now, so take advantage of it while you can. Life Point, if you haven't heard me talk about this earlier, Life Point's third annual Hooked on Life fishing tournament is taking place in Charleston the 8th and 9th. They do have late registration you can get in on. Captain's meeting at the Charleston Maritime Center Friday. Tournament day on Saturday. The species of redfish, flounder, sea trout, inshore waterways, Edisto to Bulls Bay. And then Saturday afternoon, of course, the scoring, live auction and awards ceremony and barbecue cook-off. You're going to be in Charleston. You just got freed up next weekend. Benefit some very worthy causes. Bridge to Life, Musculoskeletal Transplant Foundation, Changing Lives Through Tissue Donation. So go fish and have fun contributing to a worthy cause. Got a gun show coming up. Hunting season's just around the corner. So August 9th and 10th. Now, I'm not a real big fan of going and buying a new gun and trying to get used to it in a short amount of time, but can be done. This one's at the TD Convention Center right here in Greenville. It's an Arms Collector Association show, Saturday 9 to 5, Sunday 10 to 4. General admission, $7. Kids 12 and under, free. Want to go?
Sure.
Okay. I guess I'm going to go to the gun show one day next weekend. Let's see. Night Sky at Lake Warren. I saw this one and I did a little more research. The Delta Aquarids meteor shower. It actually started July 20th. It peaked on July 27th, runs July 12th to August 23rd. But Lake Warren, if you're over in Hampton, South Carolina, they're going to have a viewing, so to speak, on August the 12th. Nice little thing. You might get out and meet somebody new. I did a little research, though. This is from Earth Sky's Meteor Shower Guide for 2014. It says, don't wait until August 11th, 12th, or 13th to watch the Perseids in 2014. The moon will be in the way. So maybe a good time, maybe not. The moon will wash out some of the lighter ones, but there's always a bunch of meteors out there, and you're sure to see something. Historic Camden Revolutionary War Site, August 16th, they're going to have reopening of the Blacksmith's Forge. Now, it's been since 1995 when this thing was in operation. So members of the Philip Simmons Artist Blacksmith Guild of South Carolina will fire up Historic Camden's Forge on August 17th from 9 to 2, demonstrate the art of traditional blacksmithing. At the same time, they're going to have the Historic Camden Remembrance Day, games, that sort of thing for families. Looks to be a good time. There's no reenactment at this one, but you can see the film. They're going to have guided tours of the Kershaw Cornwall's house, which served as the British headquarters for 11-month occupation of Camden. So something you can do as a family, and you might want to call the Poinsett Weapons Range and find out they're going to be in jets flying around. Here's the music. As always, I'll add these to the Facebook page. Stay tuned. We'll be back on the other side of the break. And welcome back to Woods and Water, South Carolina. I'll be putting now all the calendar events on the Facebook page, and you can find it there. Remember, if you want to call the show, 235-9405, or if you're out of the area, 877-235-9405. If you don't want to go on the air, you can always give your question or comment to Dave, and he can put it up on my screen here in the broadcast studio. We'll get to NASP in just a second, but I just got a little update here, and it says, and you know on this program, we just love Chuck Norris. I mean, he is, well, you can't say enough about him. Anyway, Chuck Norris officially launches his campaign to defeat anti-gunners. And I just got a little email blurb here. Let's see. Action star and conservative activist Chuck Norris understands, and he's taking steps to protect our Second Amendment right of all Americans to keep and bear arms. He's partnering with the National Rifle Association, Freedom Action Foundation, to launch Trigger the Vote. What a great name for a political campaign. So anyway, we'll keep you posted on what happens with Chuck there. And, and of course we'll always have the Chuck Norris joke of the day, which is always a favorite of mine. All right. The National Archery in School program is, if you've listened to the show in the past, I expect the first, help me with this, Taylor. The first thing I ever did in preparation for the show was go to one of their tournaments back in January, February of this year. Is that correct?
Yes.
Now, who do you know that shoots, has shot archery before you got to do it this summer?
My cousin mostly got me into this, and she was saying, oh, Taylor, you need to do this, and it's so fun. And I was like, okay, Bethany, I will.
Yeah. Anyway, the Upstate Hurricanes, their homeschool team, and this is National Archery in School programs is open to all kids, and there are schools all over South Carolina that are participating in the program and all over the United States, and in fact, it's gone international. And this year, Taylor was fortunate enough, you weren't fortunate enough, you were, because Patrick and Colleen Pusateri put themselves out there during the summer, to have a summer archery program. You got to take part in the summer archery program.
I did, yes, and it was so much fun.
It was. I can tell because you looked like you were having a really good time, and from day one until now, Mondays have been one of the easiest days for you to get things done, hasn't it?
It has, yeah.
Because you're ready to go to archery, and you're not going to let anything stand in the way, are you?
Oh, no.
Okay. Well, we've got Ryan Bass with Department of Natural Resources on the line with us. Ryan?
Yes, sir.
It's Roger Metz. How are you doing today?
I'm doing wonderful. How about yourself?
I'm doing great. I appreciate you calling in, taking time out of your Saturday to be here.
No problem whatsoever. Glad to do it.
What is, tell me your official position with the Department of Natural Resources.
I am our outreach coordinator, which includes our NAS program. So I am the state coordinator for the National Archery and Schools program for the state of South Carolina.
And you're also the coordinator with Eddie Montz on the Take One, Make One program?
I am, yep. We have the Take One, Make One program. Coordinator with that, I have Eddie in the upstate of South Carolina. We got Glenwood Pierce and Junior Matthews, Midlands and Lower State. And then we also have a program, our Scholastic Late Target Sports program that I coordinate as well.
Wow, you're a busy fella.
Busy time.
But this is all geared towards that next generation of archery, shotgun sports, hunters that we're trying to bring up in the state of South Carolina.
Exactly. I mean, that is our goal, is to get the youth involved in shooting sports in whatever means that they would like. We want to make sure it's available to them.
Well, I can tell you, or Taylor, you can tell him how much you enjoyed your NAS program this summer.
Oh, my goodness, it was so fun.
I heard you competed very well, too. I heard you shot well placed. Did I hear third?
Yes, sir, you did.
Well, very good. And I'm sure we will see you on a state team here in the next couple years.
Yeah, she's going to have to sit out this year because she's only 10 and in fifth grade. So I think the upstate team here doesn't have the elementary program. They just start with the middle schooler. So she's going to have to take this year and stay on the rules and stay in the practice and all that sort of thing. Tell us a little bit about the statewide NAS program in case somebody didn't listen back when we had the tournament and heard me talk about it earlier.
What it is, the National Archery in Schools program, it started in the state of Kentucky. Roy Grimes, who's in charge of the entire National Archery Schools program. Him and another gentleman started it in Kentucky, and they had a goal their first year, very low goal, and ended up blowing it out of the water within the first several months. And then from there, it just expanded across the country. We joined it. This is our 10th year, I believe. We're going into our 10th year.
Wow.
And it has been just unbelievably successful. I mean, what we do is we offer it to all the schools in the state. We hope by the end of this year, I hope to have it in 350 schools in South Carolina.
350 schools.
That is my goal by the end of the year. I think right now I'm about 275, somewhere along in there, and in the process of doing some trainings right now. Did one this past week and got another one coming up here in a week or so. And so hopefully by the end of the year, we'll have about 350 schools in South Carolina. And, you know, just low estimates, I think that's going to correlate somewhere between 26 and 30,000 kids in South Carolina that will be shooting bows and arrows in schools in South Carolina.
That's an impressive number.
Yes. It is amazing to see and what it does for kids, what it does for schools.
I was going to ask you, what benefit to the kids? I mean, I've talked to Tom Jeffrey, who is your
resource. Yeah.
Yeah, a great resource, and the judge. I talked to him, had him on the show, and he was talking about buying bows. We touched just a little bit on the National Archery School program, and he was talking about some of the surveys, how the teacher said, you know, the students' self-confidence went up, their behavior, the attitudes, and I think it all goes back to, especially when you're in high school, middle school, that sort of thing, you want to identify with a group. And if you don't have a group to identify, you just kind of wander here and here. And for me, through high school, it was band. But Colleen has even said that watching these kids come alive when they have something to do like this.
You know, and as we grew up, we come through, and the majority of our archer programs are in a, you know, PE class of some sort.
Right.
You know, not always. We have some that are agriculture, some whatever. Most of them PE. And, you know, as we grew up, we saw the kids who never participated in anything. And now we've found something that every kid in the school can do. I was at the World Tournament in Madison, Wisconsin a few weeks ago.
Okay.
And we had a legally blind kid on the line shooting.
A legally blind kid on the line shooting.
On the line shooting, absolutely. We've had states who have had amputees on the line shooting with a mouth release.
Right? Wow.
So it is, we can involve every kid. I've seen kids in wheelchairs on the line shooting. So, you know, this program has really reached across all those borders and shows, you know, that a kid can do it.
Yep.
And every kid across the country is using the same equipment, the same arrows, the same target. You know, nothing, no one person has an advantage.
That's right, because Matthew's bow, their Genesis bow, is constant draw, even though it's a compound. It's good for any draw length. It's an amazing little bow piece of technology.
Absolutely. You know, when they created it, it was made to fit any body that wants to shoot the same bow.
And Tom said you can shoot it whether you're 10 years old or 18 years old.
Exactly right. Yep, exactly right. No matter the age, size, draw, like you said, draw length, it is fitted for anybody that can shoot it.
One of the incredible things about the NAS program, this is on the DNR's website, bow and arrow, how safe is the program really?
It's safe to sport in schools. We have been very fortunate, knock on wood, across the country. We had our state coordinators conference the other week in Madison. Uh-huh. And, you know, there has been zero report of any type of incident involved in the National Archery Schools program across the country. Zero.
And it's amazing how many kids you got involved, no accidents. But it's also a testament to how the program is set up and run. And one of Tom's big points was he said it's all positive.
Oh, absolutely.
There's nothing negative, you know, don't do this, don't do this. It's do this. If this happens, do this. It's not negative at all.
And that's, you know, when we train the teachers to teach the program, to coach the program, that's part of the training technique is that we try to take the negativity. It's easy to go up to somebody and go, hey, you're not doing this right. We want to teach them to go up and say, you know, I really like the way you're doing this. On this next shot, let's try this.
Taylor, you can speak to that.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So you heard that.
Yeah, she heard that. When Patrick or something would try to give you some instruction, it wasn't you're doing this wrong. Tell us how it went.
It was like that was really good, the way you were doing this process, like grouping. And he said, just in this next shot or this next round, just move it up.
And that just absolutely falls in place with what we're teaching. It shows that it's going all the way from us all the way through the shooter. So that's a testament to it right there.
But she really had a good thing. So I want to thank you for your work with it. We'll keep in touch over this year. I'm sure I'll see you at least by the Sportsman's Classic March, but I'll try to keep in touch and get with you before then.
Very good. Call me anytime. Be glad to get with you.
Thank you, Brian. I appreciate you being on the show with us.
And congratulations to her, and look forward to seeing her in the future as well.
I appreciate it. And you'll be there, right, Taylor?
I will, yes.
Okay. Thanks.
Y'all have a great afternoon.
Okay, same to you. We really appreciate him calling in. He is the state coordinator for NASP. This show is really blessed that we can contact with them. We have teams like the Hurricanes. We also have, and Taylor's about to come out of her chair here. Okay. We have a special caller on the line. And Dave, you want to go ahead and let her in? On the line with us right now is
Coach Colleen.
Hey. Hi, Taylor. I'm so proud of you. You're doing such a great job on the radio. You are a natural, just like your daddy.
Thank you.
How exciting.
Yeah. Hey. Colleen, I, on behalf of a lot of the parents, we're just eternally thankful to you for taking time out of your summer to open up a program like this that I know took a lot. I know Patrick was hustling through the parking lot because he was running late, and you were inside going, where is Patrick? I need Patrick. So from all of us, I want to thank you, Taylor, from day one. She just loved it. She loved the instruction. She loved learning. She loved the shooting. She loved the kids there.
That's so great.
From your standpoint, was it a successful summer?
Yeah, it was beyond successful. We just feel so blessed to have this opportunity, this platform with these children. Archery has just really touched the lives of so many, and the success in our eyes is definitely based on, you know, how the kids come through the program and how it's changed them, you know, just in so many ways, not just being a better archer or learning the basics and going through the 11 steps, but just, like I've always said, just the friendships, the relationships, and giving these kids the encouragement and a platform that they have never had before to participate in a sports or a club. And it's just beyond rewarding and a blessing to us as a family to be able to do it together, be with my husband and then do it with my son and daughter, and have to be actively involved as a family, part of the Hurricanes organization. It's just been a real blessing. So it's equal. It's, you know, it's for us, and, you know, we're just blessed too, is what I'm trying to say.
Oh, great. Taylor, what was one of the, and we've got about 30 seconds, so make it quick. What was the best lesson you learned this summer?
I think is to listen to whatever the coach tells you, because whatever he says is going to help you go through the summer and the archery and everything.
That's right. That's so great. Well, I'm so proud of you, Taylor. We look forward to having you on the team. We really
Thank
do.
You.
Thanks, Colleen, and we'll talk
Thank
to you,
you
soon.
Thank you, Roger. Thank you. Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. We'll take a break and be back on the other side. And welcome back to Woods and Water, South Carolina. Again, if you want to call on the show, it's 235-9405, 877-235-9405. And I want to apologize. We had a caller call in right about the time as Ryan came on the air with us, and he had a question about nutria rats and wanted to know if it was legal to hunt them. As far as I know, and there's really nothing on the Department of Natural Resources website The only thing I found was an article from 2005 that they were concerned that they may be showing up in the Savannah and Petit River basins. So have at them. I would assume they're almost like groundhogs as far as no season, hunt them with whatever you want to, pretty much a nuisance rodent. Hope that if you have really have a problem with nutrias up here, I'm sure the Department of Natural Resources would like to know about it, because as far as I know, I haven't heard of any of them being around. They're more of a tropical rat, I guess you'd like to say. But, yeah, have at them. The more you get rid of, the better, because they are a pest. Back to the archery and school programs for a little bit. I went over a little bit of this beforehand. Taylor, I want you to hear it from Taylor's perspective and not just mine. And there's a very specific way to do everything in NASP, right?
Yes, there is.
In other words, there are whistles. Everything is pretty much dictated by a whistle. So if you hear one whistle, what does that mean?
One whistle is to shoot. When you get up to the shooting line and you get in your stance and you've got your arrow knocked and everything, and you can just release it. Relax your hand and just let the arrow follow through.
If you hear five whistles, what does that mean?
Five or more is an emergency.
Which means just hold what you're doing until you get further instructions. All right. Give us, just run through the steps in shooting. Take them slow.
Okay.
Give us a little bit about what happens at each step.
Okay.
And this is coming from a first year archer, because you've never shot, I mean, you've shot your cousin's bow mm-hmm. just for a few times, but this is all brand new to you as of what, 8 weeks, 9 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
And you started the program. The first lesson was pretty much all just talking about rules and regulations, what to do, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
And after that, you started shooting.
Mm-hmm.
So take us through, and I want to hear from her because she's still so excited about this. So it's always good to hear from somebody who is young and excited, not somebody who's old and jaded like me. So go ahead and give it to us.
Well, stance is basically when you get up to the shooting line. I mean, they have them marked with cones, and when you get up to the shooting line, you're going to put your right foot a little bit in front of your left foot and have your feet open pretty much like you're going to go down to the ground, and just have them open and just a little bit, like I said, just a little bit further up from your left one, and then knock arrows when you grab the arrow. Like, you have a quiver and it's going to be down on the ground, and it's a
The ones they had at Upstate were actually 4-inch pieces of PVC with a floor flange glued to the bottom. So which was a real simple quiver for everybody there.
And basically, you would just grab it under the fletching, and you would just knock it under your knock locator, which is a little piece of plastic, and you put it under there, and basically, that's what you do once you get it ready to shoot. So,
and we got another call on the line. This is another special one, and Taylor's just beaming from ear to ear.
That's
take it,
my cousin Bethany.
Hey, Bethany,
hey,
how are you?
Hey,
good, how are you?
So glad you called.
I guess we have you to thank for all of this.
I just wanted to call and say that I'm so proud of you, and you have done an awesome job.
Thanks.
I think she has. I mean, what, did she shoot your bow maybe 3 or 4 times before she started this program?
Yeah, and she did such a great job. I'm so proud of her.
Well, that's great. And you, now, how many years have you been doing this, Bethany? You
this
just started with Upstate in September, right?
Yeah, this was actually my first year, and it was really fun. I enjoyed it.
And that's what I hear from every kid that participates. They just really enjoy it. They have a ball doing it. They have make lots of friends. But I remember sitting at Christmas. I think it was Christmas, and you were talking about getting a bow, and I'm like, wait a minute, what did I miss here? what is Bethany doing with a bow? And you invited me to the first shoot there at the gym where y'all practice and all, and from there I went to state, and I didn't get to go to nationals with you, but
you got to come to state.
I did. I got to see y'all shoot at state, and that was fun. That was fun.
Yes.
Now, how long what year are you in school, Bethany?
I'm going to be a junior.
Are you going to keep up with this junior and senior year?
Yes, I will. I love it, and everybody is so awesome there, and it's just such a great atmosphere, and I absolutely love it. And I'm so glad that Taylor's getting into it, because I know she'll just have a great time with it.
Oh, she will. Trust me, she will. Now, we've got to take this year off, because they're not going to have an elementary school program, but next year she'll be back in it.
Next year she'll be ready.
That's it. That's it. Bethany, I appreciate you calling in, and I appreciate you letting her shoot your bow those few times, because that's all it took.
I love doing it with her.
You take care of yourself.
Okay, love you guys.
All right.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Wow, you've had two special callers. Oh. I don't get special callers. I have to call mine and almost pay them to come on the air with me. That's the magic of a 10-year-old. Okay, so we got the stance, the knock arrow. Take us through.
And drawing hand set is basically when you hook the bowstring between the archer's groove, which is you take your three fingers, the ones in between the pinky and the thumb.
Okay.
And you have a string that's attached to the bow, and you put it in your archer's groove. And then when you pre-draw, you hinge the bow arm and the drawing arm to the eye level, rotate bow arm, elbow down and away from the bowstring.
Okay. Now, after you get that, you do what?
You draw. And basically what you do is you're going to have your bow hand in the grip. And you take the string and you pull it back to the corner of your mouth.
And that's called what?
Drawing.
But you draw back to what's called the?
Anchor.
That's right. That's the anchor. Once you get it to the anchor,
you aim,
which is the next logical step.
And basically the easiest way to do it is there's sight windows, and it's kind of like normally how you see waves, and it's on the side of your bow.
Almost like they drilled out just a little bit of an arc in the bow.
And that's basically what you look through.
Okay.
To see the target.
Okay. Once you get done aiming.
And then you have your shot set up. And And basically what that is you can see where you're shooting, and you want to stick with that and see if you get a bullseye.
Okay. Next step?
And when you release, you just let go of the string, and the arrow will go through and hit whatever circle on the target.
Now, I noticed a couple of times in practice where Coach Patrick would come over, and he would say, your grip is wrong. And that sort of thing. He had a little problem with that. And that's where you really learn to listen, is when you figured out what he was trying to tell you. And all of a sudden, when your arrows left the bow, there was no duck tail to the back of it.
No, it wasn't.
A straight flight. Because there was a couple of times I watched you, but one I remember, you hit the top right-hand corner of the target, and the arrow laid diagonally down across the bullseye to the bottom left. But you were learning, right?
I was,
and
yes.
You did learn. Okay, so once your shot's set up, you release.
And
one of the most important steps in this is the last one.
Is when you release it, you just want to kind of relax everything, and you keep your bow arm out, holding the bow. And basically, when you release it, you reflect, or follow through, and you kind of pretend like you have paint on your hands, and just kind of go back and pretend like you're painting your face.
And that's how they teach it. It's that simple. Now there are some other rules. Those are the 11 steps to archery, and they had to recite that by the third lesson or whatever. You had to memorize that and recite it. And these kids did it. I mean, they really wanted to do this. But there's some general rules: no running, no roughhousing. And these are really hurricane rules. They're not really NAS rules, but they would be good rules for anybody starting up. Handle your equipment with respect. It is a weapon. Treat it as such. Listen carefully to the whistle commands, the coaches. You learn that too. Don't play with the stretchy bands.
Yep.
And you saw a lot of boys do that, and I think that's just boys in general. And they call it hair back, and that's one thing you had to worry about mm-hmm. every time you went. And that's just to keep your hair from getting tangled up in the bowstring, the risers, and all that, because that wouldn't be a fun experience.
Because that has happened to me before, and it's very painful.
That's it. And one of the most important is closed-toed shoes, because before you shoot, where does that bow rest?
It rests on, for me, it's my left foot,
uh-huh.
and you just kind of rest it on there.
That's it. Closed-toed shoes. There's another break. Finish up this and move on to some news on the other side. And welcome back to Woods and Water, South Carolina. I don't know, but you might have missed in some enthusiasm in her voice as she talked about this archery thing. Is it safe to say that now I have to go buy you a Genesis bow?
Oh, yes. If you don't, you're going to be in trouble.
Oh, see, this is where I work myself in with females in general. I always get in trouble. Take a year off, another year older, another grade up, and then you'll be eligible to go into the sixth grade program, right?
Yes.
Okay. Debbie, if you heard that, you know what we got to do now. What you have to do, not me. I've done enough. No. Oh, me. That was a good segment. I hope if you have a kid who's even remotely interested, look at your school. There are 24 schools just here in Greenville County that have programs. Some of those are public schools. Some of them are homeschool groups. Get in contact with them. Let your child go and talk, explore. Be willing to get them there for the practices. And like I said, Ryan said, most of these take place during PE courses. I mean, for us, it was, 4:30 on Monday afternoons till 6. But you got to put yourself out there to get these kids involved in this sort of thing. And, they may take to it. They may not. They may do more than shoot paper targets. For some reason or another, I think Taylor will take it a little further than that. That's just her drive. But take the effort as a parent and go a little bit beyond what you may feel comfortable with, because they're in good hands with these instructors. They're taught well. They know how to teach these safety things. You have a peer system that kind of keeps a lot of people in line and all, especially up on the shooting line, because everybody's doing the same thing the same way. Okay, let's move on. Been bringing you a little tidbit here and there on the FLW Cup, and this will be kind of the last one. 5 early cup storylines, and this is straight from the FLW Cup, Walmart Cup webpage. This is dated 6 weeks ago, but in 2 weeks, 45 of the best anglers will be competing for the top prize in professional bass fishing at the FLW Cup in Columbia, August 14th through 17th. And I'll be down there covering a lot of it. It's going to be a fun, fun time. The number one story, Gagliardi gets in. If you don't keep up with bass fishing, professional bass fishing, and I'm just starting to get back into it after having not been in it for a while, this is one of those stories that it's just the story, and it teaches you that, admitting when you're wrong and owning up to the consequences sometimes pays off dividends. Now, Gagliardi is going to be a favorite because he lives on Lake Murray, right there in Prosperity, South Carolina. But at the beginning of the season, he got disqualified from the season opener on Lake Okeechobee, and he owned up to it. He was fishing in the wrong area, realized it, went to the official and said, look, I've been fishing in the wrong area. So he was disqualified. Normally that would be that's a season ender type thing because all this is built on points, but he made it. It's just one of those good stories. You just can't manufacture stuff like this. So we're going to keep our eye out for Gagliardi. 5 champions, 5 previous champions will fish in this tournament. You got David Dudley, Brent Erler, Scott Martin, Jacob Wheeler, and Randall Tharp. So you've got 5 guys who are used to the pressure, and we'll see how that plays out. Between North Carolina and South Carolina, we've got 4 anglers. Aside from Gagliardi, you got Casey Ashley from down the road in Donald, South Carolina. He's another local favorite. They both live near Murray, have fished Murray a lot. Murray in August could be tough, so just have to see. But you've also got Matt Airy and Brian Thrift. They're both from Shelby, North Carolina, 75 miles from Murray, so they both have experience. We'll see how that goes. Shallow water patterns at play, early and late, could be all day, depending on if you've got cloud cover or whatever. It's no surprise that unlocking the mystery of catching bass that feed on blueback herring that Lake Murray has a lot of will be the focus of a lot of these anglers. Probing shallow grass wood cover around the Saluda River, many docks on Murray. My aunt lives on Lake Murray. I can vouch for the amount of docks, especially the amount of docks that have been built since about 1973. But anyway, blueback herring is going to be a big, big factor in this thing. And to end it all, there's 15 first-timers fishing this tournament. Guys that don't know the stress of being in the biggest fishing tournament or one of the biggest fishing tournaments in the United States. So it'll be interesting to see. Don't forget, you've got all the ways to win. You've got the concerts and you've got the barbecue and bass with the Saginaw Barbecue Association. And you've got the convention that's going on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday there at the Carolina Convention Centers. Department of Natural Resources will be there as well as a lot of other sponsors. So if you're looking for something to do that weekend, what a great way to spend some family time. I think we talked about it the other night. We're going to go down on Sunday.
Oh, yes.
I'll be there Tuesday for media day, Tuesday afternoon, part of Thursday, part of Friday, be at the convention center Friday afternoon helping out DNR. Won't be there Saturday because I'll be here doing the show. But I think the whole family's going to go on Sunday because we've got a concert and your older sister is gotten into this concert thing. And
she has, yes.
So I think we actually may have the participation of the fourth member of our family because there's a concert involved. So anyway, keep that on your calendar. That's 2 weeks from today. 2 weeks from tomorrow will be the final weigh-in and the Rodney Atkins concert in Columbia. So put that on your calendar and make sure you get down for that. I talked a little bit last week about the National Deer Association, National Deer Alliance that launched at the Quality Deer Management Meet Convention in Athens last week. I got my first email. I just wanted to give you a real short, here's what is in it. Here's what you need to do if you want to sign up. So the first email from the National Deer Alliance went something like this. NDA rally cry, stand up and be heard. H-E-R-D. Don't you love a play on words? Again, this is a free email sign up. They're not going to share your information with anybody. And again, this little, poll that they have right here. You know, it's 11 million deer hunters. 1% of them are members of some organization. There are 3 million turkey hunters. 8% of them are members of some organization. 1 million, 2 or 3 duck hunters. 41% of them are members of an organization and on down the line. Deer hunters, and the whole reason they did this National Deer Alliance is to bring deer hunters under one umbrella to let everybody know what's happening. And if you deer hunt in South Carolina, you may not have a clue that some of this other stuff is going on. So when you get into the email, deer in the headlines, CWD prevalence increasing in Wisconsin, Wyoming, and West Virginia. Now you may ask, what's CWD? Well, that's chronic wasting disease. It's an always fatal, infectious disease found in most deer species, and it's including elk, moose, mule deer, and whitetails, and appears to be spreading in herds located throughout these states. I know we've had a problem with it out west before. This is one of those things that sometimes could affect the deer population right here in South Carolina. Second story, conservationists urge action as mule deer dwindle in Colorado. Now, hard winters, high hunting pressure, but I guarantee you that one of the things they're going to find in this call to action and the study they're going to do on this is, look, they're just losing habitat. I mean, in any wild animal population, that's the number one effect on a population, and that's us. So take it what you will. The third one is the Missouri Department of Conservation wants Missourians' opinions on protecting deer. And this one's pretty interesting. If you're going through there's a link here to a white-tailed deer and habitat loss video, a news feed with a feature article that says thieves tracked down with deer cameras. And that's one good use for all those trail cams. Dave's got an idea about that. is catching people doing things on deer cameras. But this Missouri thing is pretty interesting because I had, in reading another article, I had come across something that jogged my memory. And it's, the input they wanted was, is banning the importation of live white-tailed deer, mule deer, and other hybrids, improving fencing requirements for new and expanding captive servage facilities, requiring all deer 6 months or older that die in captive facilities to be tested for chronic wasting disease, establish better record-keeping requirements, and prohibiting new facilities within 25 miles of where chronic wasting disease has been confirmed. Now, the article that I had read was that the Missouri governor vetoes two captive deer bills. Now, we don't have a problem with this, but in lots of states over this country, there are deer farms. I know of Michigan and that sort of thing, and that's a discussion for another day. But what was happening in Missouri is there was a big movement to transfer oversight of these deer breeders and owners of high fence hunting preserves from under the Department of Conservation and put them under the agriculture. So, and he vetoed both of them. Now, it'll be interesting to see what happens. But, you know, in here he said, for more than 75 years, our Department of Conservation has been held up as a model for wildlife management agencies across the country because of its incredible success in redefining deer as livestock to remove the regulatory role of the department defies both its clear record of achievement as well as common sense. So that's the first issue of the National Deer Alliance newsletter. I suggest you get it. If you don't like it, you can always unsubscribe. But as a deer hunter, I need to know what's going on in other states, because at some point that could be coming back to us. A little bit of news from Department of Natural Resources, a couple weeks old. Lake Edwin Johnson over in Spartanburg, which is part of Camp Croft State Park, they have a new barrier-free fishing pier built there. It's open. It is mobility-friendly. In other words, if you're in a wheelchair, this is a place you can go fish. It's always been a good place to fish. A couple of years ago, they took it down. They renovated it and restocked it with bass, brim, the whole lot. It's always been a good bank fishing lake. And now with the addition of this pier, it really ought to be a place to go. So if you want a place to take a kid fishing, Lake Edwin Johnson would be one of the first places I would start, simply because they're telling us right here it's a 40-acre fertilized lake providing largemouth bass, bluegill, shellcracker, and catfish. And it's been stocked, and it's being overseen very well. Let's see. Some of these others I'll just have to wait. Like, DNR released the migratory bird seasons. They'll start September 1st for doves. One of my favorite days of the whole year. And as growing up, that was the opening day. And Taylor's over here smiling because she enjoys it too.
I do.
My little bird dog. So I'll save a lot of these till next week. We'll go through them more, but that's some of the things that I'll try to fit in. Maybe the calendar events won't be as much because we've got a very busy show next week. So we'll go straight to the Chuck Norris joke for the week. And this one will date you to. You can't touch this. MC Hammer learned the hard way that Chuck Norris can touch this. You can thank Dave for that little bit of music history. And it was funny. We were texting. We're like, wow, that video was pretty bad. So one thing is you just forget as you get older how bad some of those years were. Oh, me. Next week, we will be talking about the Take One, Make One program. If you have a kid, boy or girl, that wants to get involved in hunting, but you either didn't grow up that way or it's been so long you don't have an idea of where to start. Tune in next week. If you're an experienced hunter, you want to give something back, you need to tune in too. We'll have Sergeant Eddie Montz here. We're hoping to have a mentor with the Take One, Make One program and even a mentored kid with us too. So it's going to be a good show next week. Lots of information. I promised I'd take him down to Henry's Barbecue after the show. So there's a call if you want to come out to Henry's next Saturday about 4:30 or so and meet Eddie and congratulate him, because that was a big award from the Quality Deer Management Association last week. You're welcome to, but I'm not buying your lunch, your supper, only theirs. I want to thank Taylor, Ryan Bass, Colleen for being on the show with me today. I hope you enjoyed it. There's James. So another edition of Woods and Waters over for this week. Take advantage of the cooler weather. Be careful while you're out there. Travel the back roads. And unlike me, Monday night at Taylor's Archery Tournament, don't forget the camera. I'll see you next week.